Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome to Breaking Beauty,
the podcast all about the best-selling beauty products and the damn good stories behind them. We're your hosts, Carlene Higgins
and Jill Dunn.
Hey guys, welcome back to Breaking Beauty podcast.
Hi Jill.
Hey Carlene.
Hello.
How are you?
I am relaxed. I'm chilling with an eggnog.
Oh.
Not really, but in my mind.
Yeah, there's no rum in that eggnog.
No, I do love a rum and eggnog though.
Well, I can't believe it, but it's our final episode of 2019.
Yeah, not officially. We're going to do some replays.
Well, yes, but it's our last official live episode. Yes. Where you and I are sitting here talking, and what a year it's been. I mean, you guys caught all of our favorite moments in last week's episode and our 2019 review, but just want to thank everybody for listening and being part of our show for this whole year. First year doing weekly, and we just feel so grateful, and thank you guys for tuning in.
I second that notion for sure.
Today's episode, we have a glow down, and let's tell everybody who we have in the house.
We have Whitney Port in the house.
Amazing.
So exciting. She's so stylish and cool, and like she's a mom. I feel like
I'm incredibly kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm influenced by her all the time.
Yes.
I follow her Instagram feed. She always has the cutest little outfits. And I think what she's doing with her podcast is really great. Just being super open about parenting and like all the facets of being an adult.
Yeah.
Today.
So her podcast, it's called With Wit. Mm-hmm. And it's also on our network, which is Dear Media Pod Fam. And we were excited to catch up with Whitney, and she was gracious enough to host us on her show as well.
Yeah. So in true PodSwap fashion, you can find your humble Breaking Beauty hosts over on With Wit's feed this week. I think that episode dropped yesterday. On Whitney's show, we discuss so many beauty favorites, including what skincare musts are our most trusted and why.
We really went deep on skincare. We talked about facials. We talked about what products are really worth investing in. Mm-hmm. And Whitney herself is a big skincare fan. So I think we had a really fun chat with her.
For sure. So before we get into the main event, I have to ask you a question though, Jill.
Okay.
What's the one beauty item you really want to give or get this season? Because there's so much like blingy, glittery, gorgeous goodness out there right now.
It's so hard. Everything is so seductive with all the packaging, and it's just hard to not hoard it all, frankly. Right? But one thing that came across my desk that I thought, this is just such a good gift, and I would be so excited if I got it as a gift as well. And that is from Nest Fragrances. And it's their new scent, which is spiced orange and clove. Mm-hmm. And specifically, it's the reed diffuser that I like.
Okay.
So they have that scent in all of their different votives and candles and all kinds of iterations, but I really like the reed diffuser. It's about $64 Canadian, $48 US. Why I like this is because it's like a fragrance oil in a glass jar, and they put the reeds, like the black, there's like five or six of them that you put in the top. So you sort of like uncork the fragrance oil, stick the reeds in there, and then it's slowly but surely releasing the scent into your home.
Yeah, it's kind of soaking up those oils and then just osmosis, and then it just emits the fragrance
at the
top. That's
right. And it's actually VOC approved, so, and it's alcohol free. Why I would recommend this to pretty much anyone and why it is such a great gift is kind of like it's decor and beauty in one.
Yeah, so true.
So put it in your bathroom. It looks like a piece of art almost. Yeah. And it lasts for like 90 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
just a great hostess gift. Like, yeah, who wouldn't like that?
Teacher gift. I mean, I don't know if people splurge out if you really like your teacher, but
yeah. Joe Malone has one. This one's like half the price.
Exactly.
And it is really like sophisticated looking. But what did you like about that scent specifically?
Why I love this and why I think it's so original. First of all, it's like more of a holiday scent rather than specific to Christmas, because I know there's lots of different holidays that people are celebrating right now. But my mom, when I was younger, she used to put like cloves and cinnamon and everything on the stove, and you would just smell it sort of like emitting throughout the house. And it reminds me of that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it also is, okay, this is kind of crazy, but when you have people over and maybe you have a big house or something, you don't necessarily want to light candles in the bathroom. They're like unattended, whatever. You have a couple of eggnogs and boom, you forget to blow it out. And oh my God, like don't even want to think about that. So this is like a much safer way to consume scent or have scent in your bathroom. And I just really think that it's orange, it's cinnamon, gingered honey, just very warm and inviting. And like I said, it kind of lasts all winter, or lasts for 90 days. It's kind of like that gift that keeps on giving, if you will. What about you? What's your number one thing that you would either give or get?
I found this really hard. We told each other to come prepared today, and I was like, oh my God, because there's so many amazing value kits out there around the holidays, and how do you choose? So for me, I like to get something that I normally wouldn't buy myself. And I don't usually treat myself to body creams. Like, it's sort of an afterthought for me. You know, I'm lazy / busy. So like my ankles literally probably have scales on them right now. But when it comes to body cream, the one that I've really fell in love with is this Sol de Janeiro Brazilian Boom Boom Cream. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you remember, but when we were at Sephora last year, we were going around to all the different installations, and I had never heard of this like really fun, bright, colorful line. And you were telling me that it's just like a cult sensation. It's flying off the shelves.
They had a fountain that looked like a chocolate fountain, but it was their bronzing body oil.
Yeah, amazing.
Just like cascading everywhere.
So they gave me a little like 30 ml tub of the body cream, and I took it home and like just loved it. What I like about it, I think the number one ingredient in it is actually water. It also has that cupacao butter, so that's like super moisturizing, and it has like this caffeine rich guaranca extract or whatever, and coconut oil. It smells like the beach, but I find it's just really hydrating. It's not greasy because it is water-based, but it does keep you hydrated all day.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the magic and what people really love about it.
And it just gives your skin a really sexy sort of sheen.
Yeah.
So how much is this, and like what else comes in it?
Okay. So that's the thing. So the kit is $59 US. The value is $89. In Canadian dollars, it's $77, and the value is $117. So that's pretty good. And then you get four products in here, and the sizes are pretty good. They're not too winchy. Like the Brazilian bum cream, sorry, the Brazilian boom boom cream. It's spelled bum, you guys. It's B-U-M. So I can't help myself. It's 240 mils. So probably not like the full size, but it's not winchy. And then you also get a hand cream, a moisturizing shower cream gel, and the Brazilian crush body fragrance mist.
It's salted caramel and pistachio and vanilla. It's just super gourmand smelling.
So if you like that kind of like memories of Rio scent, then you'll really be into this. But I really want to try the hand cream because the body cream is so fast absorbing. I know that they say that the hand cream has that quality as well. And I hate a greasy hand cream, but I definitely need a hand cream in the winter. So I just think all around, great kit. Who doesn't use a shower gel? Anybody's going to be really impressed by this body cream that maybe they haven't heard of.
And you wouldn't even have to wrap this. I'm looking at the box right now.
Yeah, it's like so bright and colorful. It's bright red. It has like this beautiful Brazilian goddess on the front, and it's just like so colorful and fun.
This is from Sephora? Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, you can find it at Sephora.
Okay. And what else? A little stocking stuffer?
Yeah, stocking stuffer. I mean, I honestly, every year there are Burt's Bees lip balms or tinted lip balms that are in people's stockings. You know, it's just, it's so easy for like kids and friends and last minute things that, you know, they have like nice little packages, like a mistletoe one that you can put right on the tree if you want. It's 10 bucks. You know, you can get it at Ulta Beauty, Shoppers Drug Mart or whatever. And again, it's like even guys use, you know, the guy in your life is going to use a chapstick, right? So yeah.
Okay. So those are covered. If you guys have anything you're excited to get during the holidays, send us a photo in direct message on Instagram. We'd love to see your haul.
So many of you watched Whitney Port grow up on the hills. That was back in the mid 2000s. So the aughties, and you know, she was an intern at Teen Vogue. And I think so many people aspired to that lifestyle and just, you know, she was so gorgeous and we just were like a fly on the wall following her around.
This was before Instagram and people wanted to know, what was it like working at Vogue?
So
what was it like styling a shoot? What was it like having a meeting with Andre Leon Talley? What was it like to get an internship in Paris? Like, it just pulled back the whole curtain on that, if you will, even though if it was a little bit of a hybrid.
Yeah, between reality and non-reality. Yes, it's so,
a bit scripted,
so true.
You know,
it really kind of defined that era and just opened the floodgates to, you know, the whole blogging, vlogging, like following people around and seeing, you know, what their life is like. But it's also kind of made up and like to the nth degree, right? It's just like hyper real, I guess.
All of these years later, here we are in 2019 and they rebooted The Hills. It's called New Beginnings and they just finished season one. And most of the original cast was back, Heidi, Spencer, Audrina, and of course, Whitney.
But no Lauren Conrad, right?
No, no, they didn't have Lauren.
You got Misha Barton instead.
Yeah. I feel as though, yeah, I did really miss Lauren. LC, she was such a cornerstone of that show. And Misha, I liked seeing her back on screen again. However, I think she was maybe a little too aware because she is a proper actress. So the other people kind of were more used to the format.
Yeah, it's like you got to let your guard down.
They got right back into that. Whereas she, I think, was a little awkward.
Yeah. And so Whitney, I remember from the first season ages ago, she was like the nice girl who kept the peace, right? Yes. And I feel like that's her today probably as well.
Yeah.
But she's more mature. She's a mom. She's got a really well-rounded lifestyle. And so in today's episode, Whitney is going to talk to us about behind-the-scenes moments from The Hills reboot, how she felt getting back into reality television once again, and her thoughts on season two, which is coming next year.
And I just think she has such an interesting perspective because, of course, she's out there on social media. She's got 1.5 million followers on Instagram. She has a huge, loyal following. But back in the day, she could have the reality show shoot, and then the cameras were off, and that's it. And now it's like her life is even more on display. So it's kind of interesting to see how she's navigated all of that.
Yeah. And learn to be comfortable. Like I know on her YouTube channel, she even had a series called I Love My Baby, But, you know, she's got her son, Sonny's a toddler now, but she was kind of struggling. And so I think she's made herself feel at home discussing these very personal topics. And I think that's why it really made sense for her to launch her own podcast with Wit, where she can talk about all of these topics openly. And she's gotten really, really candid and open about some personal stuff, like the passing of her dad and a miscarriage.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about some of those topics today.
Yeah. And self-care is huge for Whitney. We're going to ask her how she balances home life with work life, reality TV life, and the secrets to taking care of herself when she has so much going on.
And also, it wouldn't be a Breaking Beauty episode if we didn't talk about what's on Whitney's top shelf. She is a skincare obsessee. So don't worry, we're going to deliver the damn goods on that as well.
And here she is, a big pod fam. Welcome to Whitney Port.
We want to pause for a moment to tell you about a new innovation from our show partner, Conair.
Carlene, we were chatting earlier today about holiday gifts, and I think a lot of girls with curly hair and textured hair would be very happy to unwrap the tool we are discussing right now, the Infinity Pro by Conair Texture Styling Hair Dryer.
What I'd really like to call out about this innovation is the patent pending, I might add, diffuser attachment. It's a secret weapon to keeping curls and waves defined and frizz free.
What's unique and what you'll notice right away is the design of the diffuser. It has this deep, extra large bowl and a venting system that allows the airflow to kind of envelop your curls. So they're dried evenly without blowing everything around.
I used it this morning to just go with my hair's natural slight waves. And I sectioned my hair into, I don't know, six parts, let's say. And I just let each one rest in that diffuser bowl. What I noticed even on a rainy day like today was less frizz than I would normally get.
It also has ionic and ceramic technology. What that means is that you're going to get even consistent heat that does not scorch hair, and you'll get the added bonus of faster drying, and you'll have really shiny hair at the end.
I did notice faster drying actually. Mm-hmm. So you too can get the total look with the Infinity Pro by Conair Texture Styling Hair Dryer.
To buy, head on over to conair.com and search for textured hair. We will link to it in our show notes.
And now back to our chat with Whit.
So tell us what's changed since the Hills, because most people will know you from way back then. So
right.
What's new now?
What's new? Well, it's been like almost 12, 13 years, I think, since we started doing the Hills. So a lot has changed. I mean, when I first started, I was a sophomore in college and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kind of knew I wanted to be in fashion, but I really didn't know who I was. I hadn't obviously met my husband. I wasn't even thinking about being a mom. So I was really just in that like discovery phase most of us are in college, and we're just like partying a lot, but also trying to think about like what's the next step. For me, it was just interesting because I got approached to do a reality show at the same time that I was in college, which obviously at that time wasn't very prevalent. So a lot has changed. I mean, I was able to parlay my reality TV career into a fashion career. Mm-hmm. I launched my clothing line, Whitney Eve, that I had for about 5 years. And then I used all my experience from that and started to become more of like a creative director and brand strategist for other companies. So I would partner with them, and I did things like design stationery, design other clothing lines. I am launching a collection with Rent the Runway in April. I have my podcast. Oh. I've been able to grow my social media and connect with people through that since I haven't been on TV in so long. And my YouTube channel, which is really, I think, the biggest thing that has connected me back to my followers since the show, just because it allowed me to open up and have real conversations with people, which was what I was kind of doing on the Hills. But this way, I was more in control of it. And so that's kind of like, in a nutshell, everything that I've been up to.
Yeah.
It's like a full-fledged personal brand, like on every kind of platform and all different areas.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really, really fun and rewarding. Obviously, also very challenging. I started my clothing line with my father, who passed away. And so I had to kind of close the door on that one just because it was just too emotionally driven for me to maintain the clothing line without him, since he really had all the business experience and background. But I didn't know that social media was going to ever be a thing. And thank God for it, because it allowed me to keep my exposure and keep the relationship with all the people that watch me on the TV show.
Yeah, and they've kind of grown with you, I would imagine.
Exactly. I mean, now most of them are my age. We've grown up together. So when I was in college, they were in college, and now I'm a young mom, and most of them are young moms. And so that's why we can be having like conversations that are you know, real and present.
I feel like that show really almost defined that era. You know what I mean? Like, people started kind of dressing like you girls, and like, it was like what you did like one night of the week. It was like appointment television, you know?
Well, I mean, I sort of look at it as like the beginning of the influencer.
Totally.
Because I think that we were doing things that a lot of girls, maybe in the back of their head, always wanted to do, but they never knew the path to get there or how to do it. And so we were actually showing how to go from like an intern to a PR person to a designer in real life, in real time. And I think that a lot of girls then try to emulate that. Like, that is the coolest part about what I've done, is that I'll meet girls that will come up to me in New York or LA and be like, I moved here to be in fashion because I saw that you did it on the TV show. And so I'm not saying that like we were the first influencers ever, because obviously that's not true. But I do think that showing, you know, the career process of a young girl in fashion, I mean, that was definitely the first time that it had been done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because reality TV before that was really all about formats. Like, The Bachelor was around and, like, Temptation Island, lots of dating shows, but nothing as real as, like, I mean, maybe The Real World was just the other thing that was, like, as real. But even they, that was a format. They were all placed in a house together. It wasn't really showing what was actually going on in their lives.
It was, this was more like almost like a vlogging type of experience, where now, like, influencers will just do that on their own. It's like, follow me every day while I do this, that, the other.
You don't even really need a TV show anymore to do that.
Yeah. And yet you're back on a TV show. And yet we're back on The Hills reboot.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, why am I doing this again? I could just do this with my husband all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so The Hills New Beginnings came back on. It was something that a lot of people were talking about for a while. Definitely Spencer was one of the people I think really wanted to come back on. And there's just a big push in culture right now with shows coming back, like a lot of remakes. And so I think MTV thought it was the appropriate time to do something like that. And we did it. And it's, yeah, it got picked up for a second season.
Oh, amazing. Congrats.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I don't know what the plan is when we start filming or if I'm even going to be on it. But like, I know it got picked up, so we'll see.
Yeah. And what's been your favorite thing so far about getting back on reality television?
I would say, you know, I would probably say the opportunities that I'm able to do, like launching my podcast and having the platform and the following, like YouTube, the actual real conversations and connections that I'm able to make with people is the most rewarding thing for me. I obviously was doing this TV show and knew in like a small way I was inspiring people, but I didn't really know, because there was no social media at the time, exactly how much I was affecting people. Mm-hmm. And I think that my YouTube channel, for sure, it all of a sudden opened up my eyes to the fact that I could actually like validate people's emotions and help people through hard times and be more than just a reality TV personality and fashion person. Mm-hmm. So that I think is the thing I'm the most proud of.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you're more of yourself on camera now or before? Because I feel like in reality shows, a big difference you'll see is people who are on the first seasons versus the second season.
Yeah.
They have a little bit more of a understanding of how they're maybe looking or sounding or any of that. Do you feel like you have changed a lot or more aware of that?
I think that I am definitely more aware, a little bit more scared. I think that reality TV has changed too, and that the audience really wants like a lot of drama, and they want people to get angry and they want people to fight. And so that's not really my thing. And when I was on The Hills, I didn't have to do that. Like, we were showing what I was up to at work, and I didn't have to be like throwing tables or, you know, wine in people's faces in order to make interesting reality TV. And nowadays you kind of like have to be that entertaining in order to have a successful TV show. So like, I think for this time around, I've always just said to myself, like, I'm just going to be me. If I am too boring, then they don't have to ask me back. That's fine. I don't need to do the TV show. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I'm not desperate for the TV show. It's something fun for me. I like to be able to connect with people in that way. I think it's nostalgic. It takes me out of my routine. You know, like, I'm just a young working mom now. So it's just, it's cool to be on a TV show, but it's not like I'm going to ever change who I am or like start shit with people for the sake of the TV show.
Yeah. Like, just start throwing shade just because you might get more airtime.
Yeah, like that is that's not me. I could never do that. I mean, I did one little thing that upset someone, and it caused some drama on camera, and I just like broke down crying, like I couldn't handle it. And I remember after filming that, I was like, I don't really think I'm cut out for this. Like, I'm not cut out to be on reality TV. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And then they were like, cut. That was great.
Yeah, pretty yes. much without telling me. Yeah.
Yes. Hey everyone, it's Jill here. I want to take a minute to chat with you about a very special show partner. I am talking about Native Deodorant. If you're conscious about what goes into your beauty products, you're going to love this brand of natural deodorant. So instead of using aluminum or talc, Native is formulated with tapioca starch, and that helps to absorb wetness. Plus, it contains coconut oil that's antimicrobial and shea butter to keep armpits smooth and moisturized. What I really enjoy, though, are the scents that Native comes in. I'm a big fan of the best-selling coconut and vanilla scent. I've even bought the body wash. It's very subtle, but now that it's holiday season, you can try out one of their seasonal scents too, like candy cane. Hello, peppermint pits. The real reason I like using Native deodorant is very simply because it does work. And the best part is there is no risk for you to try it because Native offers free returns and exchanges in the US. And the best part is we have a promo code. Yay. So for 20% off your first purchase, head on over to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code beauty at checkout. So for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code beauty at checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com for 20% off your first purchase when you use the promo code beauty at checkout. And now back to today's episode.
And so what about the podcast? Because you were doing YouTube, so you were having kind of that like relationship with subscribers and viewers who are really into what you were doing. Like, why did you decide that this was something that you wanted to do as well?
Well, I felt like on the YouTube, I was mostly just talking to my husband and having conversations about what was going on in our lives. And it was just this conversation between the two of us. But I was starting this platform where people were really opening up, and I was realizing that there was so much more to talk about and that people wanted my point of view but didn't only just want me on the other side of a camera talking to my husband. So I thought the podcast would be a good platform for me to have conversations with other people that I find inspiring, that I learn from, whose point of views I respect. And it's been such an amazing learning experience for me. I mean, it's totally opened up my whole world. Like, I sort of feel before I was doing the podcast, I lived in this little bubble. And now I'm just talking to all these different people, learning all these new things. And I feel like, you know, a little fish in a big pond. And it definitely, it humbles me, and it makes me just curious, you know, and have like a thirst for more and a thirst to be a better person.
Yeah. So I don't know how much you pay attention to your analytics. Like, we try to figure out, you know, what's the most popular episode, that kind of thing. So what have your listeners like responded to? If so, you're on our show right now, and if they haven't heard, like, what's one good entry episode that
they're really going to love. Yeah. I think my first episode with my three sisters is one of the most successful episodes because no one has really heard a lot from my sisters or even knows that I have three sisters. And it really gives like an inside scoop into what our family life is like and why I am the way I am. So that one's really fun.
I'm halfway through that episode by the way.
I listened to it. I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah, it's emotional too. Yeah, very emotional.
Which is like, I think really people will appreciate that. I feel like on audio, you can get a little bit more vulnerable.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, and especially when you're sitting down with three people that you're so close with that as soon as you see one of them cry, like you start welling up too. So that episode, and then the one where I talk about my miscarriage, unfortunately, you know, you in order to have a real relationship with people, they want to know what's really going on and what you're really going through. Mm-hmm. And I think that one was something that not a lot of people open up about. I mean, people are starting to talk about it a lot more for sure, but I think that one was something people really like needed to hear. And so those two would be good entry points.
Yeah. Was that a hard decision for you to open up about that? Or did you have to really steel yourself to talk about it?
I mean, it wasn't hard for me to admit that I had a miscarriage. It was more hard for me to talk about my feelings towards the miscarriage mm-hmm. because I was like surprisingly numb and okay when it all happened. And I always thought when you have a miscarriage that it's supposed to be the most devastating thing in the world. And I wasn't devastated. And so I was really nervous to say how I really felt because I thought people were going to think that I was just like a monster. Yeah. So that was the hard part. But it ended up actually, I think, being validating for a lot of people that felt the same way.
I also thought that you were very kind of open and honest in the, I think it was like an Ask Me Anything episode that you did about the Hills.
Yes.
And I thought it was really, you know, you were really kind of pulled back the curtain on some of the mechanics of like how real or not real it was. Mm-hmm. And
they probably weren't too thrilled with me.
Well, exactly. Like in my
no
head.
No one said right? anything. But, I mean, some of the cast members were upset with me afterwards, but you know, it's something that, I mean, let's be real. That's what people really want to know.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I'm on a reality show, and as much as people, I may want to talk about being a mom or, you know, self-care, blah, blah, blah. People really just want to know the ins and outs of what it's like to be on a reality TV show.
Yeah.
And I just feel like everybody else who's on a reality TV show talks about it. Like, yeah. Why can't I?
Absolutely.
And The Hills has been like this huge kind of, there's been this mystery around it. Like, is it real? Is it scripted? And so I just sort of felt like, okay, I have this platform. Like, who's it going to hurt if I spill a little bit?
Right. Yeah. Right. And it's kind of like post that era, you have to kind of, we're in a different era now, right? Mm-hmm. People are starting to kind of deconstruct like Instagram posts that where, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, you can, that person jumped in the air in that moment. People can see
they're
through
savvy.
It, right?
Exactly.
So,
what's one moment that you'll never forget from like the very first iteration of The Hills? Like a moment that you watch back that you'll never forget or, you know, something that sticks with you,
yes.
A life lesson learned or whatever.
Yes. I mean, I think the biggest moment for me was when I fell on national TV when we were filming Good Morning America.
Bless.
So we got to model those Oscar gowns that actual actresses had worn, and I got to wear the Hilary Swank navy dress with the open back, and there were a bunch of other models, and we were walking down this flight of stairs live on TV, and we get down to the bottom step, and I just like plummet to the ground. And I come up, and you can tell I'm like so embarrassed, and I'm trying to hold it together, and the camera shuts off, and I just like storm out and start hysterically crying. And I'm positive in that moment the producers were probably like, yes, like we needed something to kind of go wrong here. But for me, it was just like this moment of like you can pretend that everything is all good and you want to impress everyone, but like there's only so much that you can actually control. And I felt like I had let down my boss, and it was a big moment for me. And it was obviously very embarrassing. Like I didn't leave my room for a day afterwards.
That would happen to me.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it would. Like I'm such a klutz, and I honestly felt for you in that moment. And I feel like if it did anything, it humanized you and people felt
right.
for you. I'm sure that was like a positive takeaway from
that. That's what it was. Yeah. I mean, you just put it in better words, but yes, that's what it was. It just made it feel like we are all human and this happens to everyone, and this has no reflection on your character.
Right.
Yeah.
I have salad dressing on my lap right now.
Yeah.
Right before you came
very,
in.
Very large stain.
I was like, Whitney's a mom. She's going to have a Tide stick in her bag for sure.
Oh my God. I'm not that type of type A mom though. You got the wrong mom here.
I'm a mom. I have like wrappers and wrappers in my bag, but no Tide to go stick.
And like Glossier, you're good. But.
Yeah.
But you mentioned a little while back that you do like to talk about self-care. And so maybe you can share with some of our listeners who are really into beauty and self-care and that kind of stuff. Like, what are some of the things that work for you in your routine?
Yeah. So for me, self-care is really, really important because if I haven't taken care of myself, I feel like everything else is kind of spinning out of control. I'm learning that saying no to things, as much as it may piss people off, that it's something that I have to do in order to take care of myself. Like in terms of fitness, I have to do hot yoga a couple times a week. Before I had Sunny, I tried to work out 5 days a week. I mean, it was super important to me. Now that's not as realistic. I just don't have the time, but hot yoga is something just for my soul, for my mind, for my body. It just really lifts me up. It makes me feel different than any other workout that I've ever really done. I love massages. Like, mm-hmm. I could literally get a massage every week if possible. And I use that app Soothe where they can come to your house so I don't have to leave the house. Like, I can put Sunny down at 7 o'clock and then they can come by 8 or 8:30 and I don't feel as guilty leaving because I'm doing it while he's asleep.
Love it.
Let's see. I love my manicure pedicures, though right now I'm just letting my nails breathe because I've heard someone told me that you need to give your nails like a little bit of a break. Like first do 2 gels and then mm-hmm. take a break.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know all the tips.
Yeah. Where do you get your nails done, by the way?
I go to Bellacures in the Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, in Studio City.
Okay, so that's the place to go. So you have...
It's not necessary. I mean, I love Bellacures, but there's so many great places in Los Angeles, like Olive and June and Mini Lux. Those places are all really great. But I'm down to go to just like a casual spa where I can go sit there for an hour and have them like rub my shoulders and legs for 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need the fancy manicure pedicure. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you about how one of our valued show partners, Acuity Scheduling by Squarespace, makes my life easier with a single click. Acuity Scheduling is a 24/7 scheduling assistant for small business owners like skin therapists and hairstylists. We know you're listening, and it allows clients to self-book appointments. So for me as a client, even if it's 11 o'clock at night, I can check my hair colorist's real-time availability and book in without having to wait for a callback. Anyone who works closely with me, like my friend Jill here on the podcast, knows that I live and die by my calendar. Like if it's not in my calendar, I am not showing up. So I love that I can get myself sorted super fast, and then Acuity allows me to update my Outlook or Google Calendar with a single click. It even lets me reschedule just as fast if I realize I've accidentally double booked myself, which sometimes happens. Lastly, I super appreciate getting automatic text messages and email reminders so I never miss an appointment. And since you, the business owner, can set up customizable cancellation policies like deposits when clients book, you'll never be out of pocket if that person ends up being a no-show. Honestly, I would never do that though. So save yourself the drudgery of having to keep up with your clients and your busy schedule by using Acuity Scheduling. For a limited time only, you can get 45 days of Acuity Scheduling absolutely free. There's no credit card required by going to acuityscheduling.com/breakingbeauty. That's A-C-U-I-T-Y scheduling.com/breakingbeauty. And now back to today's episode.
Is there a spa or salon that you swear by to get your facials?
Yeah, so I go to a couple different places for different things. So there's a girl named Nicole Hirschman in Santa Monica. She works out of the back, like this back room of a salon, and she just does amazing facials. She does like the dermablating or dermaplaning.
Dermaplaning
with the rate, like the razor that like takes the peach fuzz
almost
off.
Almost like shaving?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she does that and then she like fills you up with oxygen. So that I try to get once a month. And then there's another woman named Michaela in the Valley. I'd have to remember the spa. I can't remember what the spa name is. I just know her as Michaela in my phone. And she's more of like anti-aging, LED lights type of thing. And then there's the more medical grade stuff. I go to Dr. Sheila Nazarian's office at the Skin Spot in Beverly Hills for anything more like if I want to do some sort of laser or peel or something like that.
Yeah. This is an in-depth system. Like, do you go once a week to
No. It's like one of those once a month, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think is made the most difference in your skin, or is it all like a blur because it's all collectively?
Yeah, I think the dermaplaning has made the most difference. Yeah, I feel like after I do that, the way my makeup goes on is so much smoother. My skin, it feels like moisturize. I think it like takes in products even mm-hmm. better. I don't know. I think that keeps it like the softest and smoothest personally. Yeah.
Does it actually feel like you're having your face shaved? Like the way you shave your legs?
Yes, kind of, but it doesn't hurt or anything. It feels good.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, this is really getting off all the crap. And like she'll show you it if you want to see all the stuff that it takes off. And then your skin doesn't come out back as like, or the hair doesn't come back as like stubblies.
Yeah.
It comes back less and it's, yeah.
That's
I love
so
it.
Counterintuitive
and you
can, to
I
me,
know, but right? you, it's like this, the blade they use is different than just a razor.
Yeah.
And you can buy little blades on Amazon. I have them on my Instagram that you can do a little upkeep and stuff, you know?
Sephora has them
so
too.
Like if I have little peach fuzz above my lip, then I'll use them. I'll use that to like, so that I don't have to get it professionally done all the time.
Yeah. Well, your skin looks amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So nice.
And what are some of the skincare products you use at home?
The eye cream I'm using right now is one of Dr. Nazarian's eye creams.
Okay.
It's from her office. I have like so many different things that I use at various times. I mean, there's a scrub from her office that I use every other day that I think is also like one of the best products I've ever used. Mm-hmm. It just feels like I'm really fully deep cleaning. I use Comfort Zone toner. Have you heard of Comfort Zone? It's an Italian brand.
I have actually.
It smells so good. I use it as a toner all over my face. And then I use the Aveeno Clear Complexion Moisturizer mm-hmm. just on certain spots because I can tend to break out around here and have like blackheads and stuff. So I use the Aveeno Clear Complexion here.
So you use it outside of your T-zone?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I use a Biossance oil over that. It's mm-hmm. like a pure squalene vitamin C oil.
I love that one. Yeah.
And then on top of that, I do Embryolisse moisturizer. It's like that brand that a lot of makeup artists use. And then like for the daytime, I'll mix a Cosmetics CC cream mm-hmm. in light with a Jouer CC cream. Jouer, J-O-U-E-R.
Don't know it.
It's a makeup brand. Yes.
Okay.
It's a makeup brand.
Yes.
So I mix two of those tinted moisturizers, and that's my base.
Oh. Why not just use one tinted moisturizer? What do you like about
the mix? Because I just feel like the two colors together make the right mix for my face.
Yeah. Yeah. Little bit of customization.
So complicated.
Vanity side customization. I love it.
Yeah. So that's...
Yeah.
That's my daytime skincare. And then at nighttime, I'll use like a retinol, a Biossance cream that has retinol in it. Mm-hmm. Or not cream, oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love the retinol.
They have such a good line.
Yes, they do.
Is there something you use for like a tired mom hack where you're just like, I need to like feel awake or look awake?
Yes. I like those Roto-V eye drops.
Oh.
They just feel really refreshing and like minty in your eyes.
Oh. Right in your eye.
Yeah. They're like, they're an actual, you can buy them at any pharmacy, Roto-V, and they're also like whitening drops. And then
so it's like
I also
an amped
have,
up Visine.
Yes. And then I also continue to just spray like a mister. Like I have this Vichy one in my bag that I just continually spray.
Yeah.
I took the time this morning to go to hot yoga. That made me feel so much better. Mm-hmm. I was like walked into class feeling so depleted and then I left feeling energized. I have my Loaded Gun Creation juice, which is helping me a little bit.
And you're ready to go.
Yeah. And
What about on Sunny? Do you have a favorite line that you use in the bath or hair or?
I love the Baby Ganix stuff.
Okay, I haven't heard of
Baby Ganix is like just really good clean products. I use a lot of Aveeno products on him. Mm-hmm. There's a moisturizer called Herba Viva that is a really good like clean organic lotion. Yes, those are some of the ones.
Cool.
Yeah. He has like the best hair.
Your best son.
It's curly.
Curly. I use my own leave-in conditioner on his curls because he I can't brush it. It will
Yeah.
That will be torture for him.
Yeah.
I just shampoo his hair and wash it out and then I spray a little bit of my, it's a 10 leave-in conditioner, and put it on the ends, and okay. then just try to like run my fingers through it a little bit.
There's a good one from Original Sprout.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever tried that one. But,
I haven't.
My girlfriend's son, who's two, he has curls, and I give her that and she loves it.
Oh,
it's like all natural and it smells amazing, and it just, yeah, because you don't want to put a brush through the hair without doing that first.
No. And the Tangle Teaser, though, is a really good brush for curly hair.
Totally.
I've been using the Tangle Teaser ever since my colorist used it on me, because part of his process is like teasing the roots, and then they wash it and your hair is like just so knotty. And so they would use the Tangle Teaser. I'm like, oh, this would be really good for Sunny's hair.
Yeah. My hair colorist does that too.
Yeah.
And they always say, it's going to sound really bad,
yeah.
but trust me, your hair's not coming out.
I know. I'm like, this sounds like you're ripping all the cuticles.
It's the oddest sound ever, because your hair is back in the sink and you just hear your wet hair. Like, it's the oddest thing. And like in your head, you're like, you're going to wake up or you're going to sit up and you're going to be bald.
Yeah.
But it's
they're
not.
But teasing it to shampoo it?
No, they tease your hair before they put the foils in.
Oh.
And so then you get a more natural highlight.
I've not heard of this.
Oh, yeah. That's a big process that a lot of colorists use, and then when you go to the sink, they obviously take out all the foils, but you're left with the teased hair.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So they wash your hair out and then they brush out all the tangles and your hair's wet.
It's a really torturous process.
Yeah, sounds like it's bad for your hair, but somehow it's not damaged.
Right.
Because of the Tangle Teaser.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tangle Teaser.
What women go through.
I know.
So we're going to do some fun rapid fire.
Yes.
I think we're ready for
okay.
it. But before we do, I want to ask about your tattoo your wrist, because it's so cute.
It's Sunny with his little curly hair.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to get a picture and put that on our Instagram story.
For sure.
It's so cute.
Yeah,
and so
thank you.
What's a good place to go to for a tattoo in LA?
So this artist, Winterstone, is the best. He uses a single needle, and all of his tattoos are just so like precious and dainty and simple. And I wish I knew about him before I did this one, because this one is a little bit too thick for me.
You can see the difference.
Yeah, I have a D on my pinky. But Winterstone is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. I've heard he has like a 2-year wait list.
Okay.
But I'm sure you guys could hook it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, because it kind of goes with like your aesthetic of like the dainty jewelry. And I feel like there are a lot of listeners out there who are into that kind
type of tattoo.
So that's great.
And
to
also
know.
Where it is, it's like you can just look down at your son's face, because it's on the inner part of your wrist.
I mean, part of me was like, should I have gotten it facing me? But then I'm like, no, this makes more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's adorable.
Thank
it's
you
really
so
cute.
Much.
Really original. So
Thank
let's
you.
Do some fun rapid
let's
fire.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So your favorite fashion or jewelry label right now?
Right now, I am loving Attico. Attico makes really, really cute dresses. And then also there's a brand called Aria for shoes. They just make really fun party shoes with lots of like metallic and rhinestones and fringe. They're just really fun and pretty.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
What's the latest emoji you texted?
Probably the lips. I think I do that the most. It just shows like a lot of different emotions. Like it's like, love you, thank you. Like kisses, all of the above.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
And what's the show that you're binging on right now?
I love Succession.
Oh, Jill was
so
talking about
good.
I was just talking about
it's
that yesterday.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
I need a new one. I feel like my list is very low right now on shows to watch.
The Politician on Netflix is juicy and campy and fun.
Oh, I want to watch that.
It's like Brad Falchuk, Gwyneth Paltrow, and
all those cute.
The Platt guy, Ben Platt, who is in Dear Evan Hansen. He's the lead guy and he sings in it. And it's like, it's quite good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch that.
Yeah, it's binge worthy.
And what's for dinner most days?
I'm a big red meat person, which is, I mean, depending on who you ask, not always the best thing for you, but usually it's like a piece of protein, like a piece of steak or like a chicken burger or something with a roasted potato or roasted vegetable, and then a salad that we make that we just like dump a bunch of things in.
Yeah.
We do a lot of cooking at home. My husband's a really good cook. Yeah. I'm not. I'm usually on salad duty and setting the table, and he's making all the main stuff.
I back that.
Yeah.
What's the best gift that you've ever given?
Let's see. For our wedding day, I got my husband a watch and I got the inside of it like engraved with our like a nickname that we call each other and the date of our wedding. But I would say the best gift I've ever gotten was from him on my wedding day. And it was like a double picture frame. And on one side was a picture of my dad on his wedding day. And then the other side was left blank for me to put in a picture of Timmy on our wedding day. So that, and it had the date and everything engraved on it. And now that sits next to my bed.
Oh, so sweet.
Amazing.
And this is our final question. What do you value most in a friend? You were just talking about your best friend. What do you value the most?
I think the ability just to listen and not cut me off. I just think listening is so important, and then not judging too harshly. Like, I always want someone to be real with me and honest and tell me if I'm being crazy, but I need someone to like fully hear me out and then be real and honest with me with their feedback. I don't want like a yes person in my life.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
Thank
Whitney.
You so much. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time. You like that cherry bomb. You like that cherry bomb.